Last week we talked about relationships, and we ended right on the most important relationship that there is to have. But we didn't talk specifically about the benefit of having a relationship with the Lord. And one of the things we started talking about when we were mentioning contentment was that godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. And we talked about being content. We talked about relationships, how to think about them. We ended talking about the Lord and having a relationship with the Lord, and that being the primary focus of what we do is to nurture and have that relationship. So, but today, the topic is, actual topic of this message is from glory to glory. And this is such a benefit. We don't think about, I think that unfortunately the majority of the world thinks about having a relationship with God as being a thing that restricts them from being able to function with society. And in a way it does. And that's actually a beautiful thing, because being caught up in all that microwave generation, grass is greener on the other side, really just kind of pulls us away from the clarity that faith can bring. But when you talk about glory to glory, the Greek word is kabod, or that's actually Hebrew. The Greek word's doxa, which is weight, substance. There's a substance, heavy. So it's a heavy, heavy subject. And the verse that I want to read is 2 Corinthians 3:18. Start us out. It says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." This is where we're going to go off of. So from glory to glory, and I want to think, you know, how does that make sense? But to explain it, glory in of itself is the fundamental application of glory, is the exercise and display of what constitutes the distinctive excellence of the subject in which it is spoken. So this is, what is he talking about here? He said the fundamental application, excuse me, the primary motive of glory in Scripture is the exercise, is the action of the display of what constitutes the distinctive excellence of the subject of which it is spoken. So in reference to God, it is the very manifestation of His attributes and perfections. It's a visible indication of the possession of the presence of these. And going around this room earlier today, we heard Scott speak up, and he said that, I don't know why, but here lately, as I've been more focused on God, things have just to be fitting in. There's been changes in my life. Things are starting to occur. And this is one of those benefits of that relationship with God, that we don't quite understand the transformation, right? Well, we're physical beings, right? And we possess the Spirit that comes from the Father that actually lives within us, having been saved. They are two contrary forces. So I am one physical force that's done everything that I've done since I was little, and that's pretty much what I know because I see it and I function in it. But then I have this other force that comes into me through the grace of Jesus Christ, having been saved, who creates this new glory within me that's really foreign. But then once it takes hold, it becomes natural and is greater than anything else I've been exposed to. And when you talk about from God to man, the manifestation of His attributes and perfections is when He reaches in and works in our life, right? How many of us can look back on a time frame and just know that God was with us during that time frame, whether we deserved it, whether we didn't deserve it? Amen. But there's times that we think to ourselves, man, I know that God intervened here. I know that He was there. I just know it. I can't prove it. I can't write it down. We can't watch it on video. But I'm a person, and I live here, and I know what I know, and I know that He was there. Right? It's like that confirmation that you know that God is working in your life. And to be more clear, it's recorded in Scripture several times over and over again. In Exodus 33:17, Moses prayed, "I pray you show me your glory." And the Lord answered and said, "I myself will make my goodness pass before you, graciousness, compassion. And it will come about that when my glory is passing you, I will hide you, that I will take my hand away and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not be seen." And when Moses came down, he did not know that the skin of his face was shown because of speaking with him. God's glory was so powerful. It's cutting off my hand, Dad. I need a 2X. You know? God's glory was so powerful that when he was coming down from the mountain, his face was illuminated so that the people were scared. They were afraid of him. Right? They didn't want to come up to him. I know it's Moses. It looks like Moses, but he's glowing. It's just that glory of the Lord is so foreign to a physical man that it just has so much power. And that was a man that was ordained by God to prepare his message and share it, that his physical attributes had changed. That's how powerful the glory is. The spirit that we're talking about, the power of God. And that's the one thing that we just get away from on this day-to-day-to-day-to-day-to basis. I live in defeat. Because I'm overweight and I'm old and my knees hurt and they say I can't do it and I've been through this. And I'm not concentrated on the greatness of God, because in reality of all, when I'm focused on my limitations, then I'm setting myself back, because God has the door open and he's pushing me through it and I'm holding on to everything behind me saying I can't, right? But it's just that glory is just so powerful that comes in your life, it changes everything. And more references is Shekinah, which is Jehovah has dwelt. That means he's in us and with us. And then you got Jehovah Jireh, which is the Lord provides. You know, how many of us get in these times where we need the Lord in our lives, where they're saying, you know, history, God has provided for his people all day long. And the word, he says, the birds want for nothing. Are you not more important than they? Right? And then Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. We're all facing things. This is what they put out in front of them before they went into battle. So that when they knew they were going into battle, when they knew they were going to face that challenge, when they knew they were going to go in there, that God rode down in front of them. So if God's in front of me and he's got my back, what's going to happen to me? Amen. Think of that power, that glory of God. You're calling on God. So Jehovah Shalom, God is my peace. It was given by Gideon in Judges. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. That's the spirit within, Parakletos. Jesus said, I'm going to leave, but my spirit I leave with you. My spirit I get to you. My spirit will be in you. Why does he say that? Because the spirit comes within us, Parakletos. It's the one called alongside to help. Amen. Well, thank God, because I know living in my physical man that I need help every day. You know, it says the spirit knows how to pray when we pray, because we may not know what to pray for. And that spirit is there with us constantly. You know, just like that story that Mick shared. You know, if in fact that's an absolute, you know, that gentleman playing golf that day had a vision that said, man, I need to pray for somebody. And then he went and prayed. But that couldn't have been that man's instinct. That would have been the Holy Spirit networking within us all to protect God's people. Amen. So remember 2 Corinthians 3:18, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And when you talk about the Lord is the Spirit, the Lord of hosts, I have an idea of the transformation that occurs. Like in our future glory, in reference to what we're dealing with right now. As we continue to grow closer to the Lord, what happens to us right now? And that's what I'm going to talk about. He says, the glory of which you have given me, I have given to them, and they may be one, just as we are one, that I am in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that you may see my glory which you have given me. You loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these known that you have sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love which you love me shall be in them, and I in them. So as we continue to draw closer to the Lord, and we continue to do what we said, the very manifestation of the attributes of his perfections. What does that mean? That means that Ben does not have the ability to remain in God's love on his own. So that when Ben is exposed to God's love, and I function in God's love, and I forgive in God's love, and I show God's love, and I share God's love, and I'm in that love, that's confirmation that is his love that's here. Amen? Because we know that there's nothing to be good that's found within me other than him. And that's the surreal fact of the matter that I have to understand. I have to come to terms with I'm a physical man of physical nature with physical needs, physical thoughts, physical temptations. Amen? Yes or no? Yes or no? Have you not functioned in a physical, tempted mind today? Is that right? But yet, do you not function and show God's love?
Sure.
Right? So here's the contrary of the two forces, and that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, just as much as I know you, I know them. And the proof is going to be in the pudding, and that when I bring your love to them, and then it manifests in them, and then they share your love, and people are exposed to it, that is the very, very manifestation of the excellence of the subject of which it is spoken. That's the proof. Amen? That's the proof of the glory. That God can reach into me by reading His text and understanding His Word and getting in environments conducive to His teachings to grow me and teach me and use me to better everyone else. Ultimately, just to love and exercise in that love. Amen? That's an interesting point. But the day came back and said, "For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received the honor of the glory from God the Father, such as an utterance was made to Him by the majestic glory, that His beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And this is ourselves heard the utterance from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain." This is true glory, the manifestation of God Himself in Christ. So the sky cracks, the dove comes down, the voice comes out, and Christ is standing there. There's affirmation, and these guys, having been in the prophets of the New Testament, witnessed it and wrote about it. Amen? They were able to see the glory come to focus right in front of them. In 1 John 1 said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." So this is the very exercise and display of the constitution of the excellence in Christ. Because if you think about it, He was already on the throne. And He had to say, "I'm willing to come down and take one of these sinful, weak bodies and then pull all the suffering that needs to occur and pay the debt," because atonement cannot be paid without shed blood, and said, "I'm willing to do it for you on a personal relationship, specifically for you." Right? He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but shall be saved." Why? He didn't say the whole world. He didn't say, you know, just these people that dress this way or those people that have this. He said, the whole world. That everyone, that the invitation is to every individual that's existed previous and future from now to accept that glory from God, to partake in that glory and that sacrifice that He made from A, before He had to live it, and B, finally to put it to bed. That's a manifestation of His love. And we as people have a tendency to make it sound good, right? And I know I'm guilty of this, all right? I have to be guilty. But I, you know, we tell the story, make it sound good, you know, make a promise, make it sound good. But our follow through is not always 100%, right? We make it sound good. We got plans. They sound good. We got stories. They sound good. But our actions and our documented things that we've done up until that point may not be 100%. Amen? Right? But God doesn't do that. God's absolutely, definitively, 100% exactly what it says. He manifests everything that He says. He does. He is not about saying it. He's about doing it. Amen? That's an amazing manifestation of a God that you believe in that says, "I have a promise for you," and you know that He's going to fulfill that promise because He has fulfilled that promise. But on the flip side, the application of glory in Scripture as to the exercise and display of what constitutes a distinctive excellence in men or women, men and women, right? He says, "His glory is found in the possession of the character, wisdom, righteousness, superiority to passion, outward magnificence with expressive of what? In the lower sphere, bespeaks of the high position of its possessor. Glory, in the term, is the possession of itself, which allows us the ability to throw the term in the expressions of a halo of glory, a crown of glory, a crown of honor. As to when the glory of a man is identified with his soul, Jehovah Sabaoth, the living root and spring of all that was, which distinguishes us for good, has us as his glory and us in him as ours. And I'm going to explain this. So his glory found in us, in the possession of character, that means showing the love of God in wisdom, is knowledge practically applied. Many times in growing up, and I watch my youngest son grow up a lot, and I kind of watch how he's going through the different motions of theory with how he knows and what he knows, and I'm waiting for that haughtiness to come out, because guys have a tendency to compete and brag and rub it in, and you know what guys do, right? I mean, you're familiar. You're on the playground. They beat each other up. They make fun of each other. They brag about stuff that they do. I can jump 4 feet. You can jump 4.5 feet. You know, we get into all kinds of sideways stuff, right? It's just what we do. So I'm watching him. But wisdom is the knowledge practically applied, spread with humility, right? So if anybody claims themselves to be wise today, but they're not humble, I can assure you that they're off basis. Amen? Amen? Righteousness is the purity of heart, the rectitude of one's life. I like to say the righteousness is kind of coupled with integrity, in that no matter who's around you or where you are or wherever you're doing, you always choose to do the right thing. We had a good buddy of ours all the time, and he would go around, he would never share anything. He would only say, "Just trying to do the next right thing." That's all I ever say. You know what I'm talking about? I'm just trying to do the next right thing. Pass. But in reality, that's really kind of accurate when it comes to righteousness, because I'm on guard and I'm paying attention and I'm really just honestly trying to do the next right thing. I'm familiar that I've done so many wrong things and I know where I've fallen short, but now I'm still here. So God willing, by the grace of God, I'm able to think right where I'm at and say, I can accept this. Amen. I've made it pretty far, made some ups, made some downs, but here I sit. I can do the next right thing. Whether you're around me or I'm by myself, I'm going to do the next right thing. Amen. Amen. Superiority to passion. This is a common thing. Many of us are very passionate about temptations. We have temptations in our life that draw us near, and we're passionate about them. But part of this is becoming superior to that. Maybe some of us used to fall victim to massive drug use, where today we don't. Many of us maybe used to fall victim to putting other people down, right? Talking bad about other people, backbiting, gossiping, running our mouths when we shouldn't be running our mouths, making ourselves feel better than we should have been. We're getting past that, amen? It's a progressive, measurable outcome. So, 2 years ago today, I would have never sat next to that girl or that guy and said all that, or I wouldn't have never, you know, I don't even know how I got 19 days sober. I've been praying 1 hour at a time. You know, that progressive, measurable outcome, to where you get that superiority to our passions, meaning that my physical man can draw me near to something, but my spirit man can say, no, I'm not going to do it. Amen? It's the spirit that has the power to make the next right decision. I love that. He says, outward magnificence, which is an expressive of what? In the lower, which is a sphere, bespeaks of the high position of its possessor. It's the glory in its term. And outward magnificence is because of what is inside. It's spilling out. And when David prayed, he said, "My cup runneth over." So what happens is, I'm saved by God. The love of God comes into my life. It begins to swell. And now I can no longer contain it, because it's awesome. Right? Amen. It's awesome. I mean, when you finally get a true taste of the love of God and it's in your life, you can't hardly keep it in. You have to tell your grandma and your son and your sister and your brother and your friend you run into. You're almost like awkward, strange conversations at the gas station about Christ. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. Right? It's weird. You know, sometimes it's just uncomfortable because my nature is so different than that. You know, I don't stop people in the checkout line and say, do you know about Jesus Christ? That would be astronomically uncommon for me to be a part of from where I came from. But yet, here today, it's choking me out. I can't keep it in because it's so good. Because my family loves me today. I'm settled today. I'm not looking over my shoulder today. I'm successful today. I definitely don't have all the things that I want because my flesh man still wants it all. But I have every single thing that I need. My spirit is blasting. Amen? Right? You can't contain the love of God. You can't contain the glory of God. You're not supposed to keep it to yourself. Jesus said, if I took a light, would I put it under the table so all could see? Right? This is it. It's under the table. Can you see the light down there? No, but if you hold it up high, the whole world gets a taste. Amen. And this is that power of God. Why am I going to keep it and hide it all to myself? Because I'll tell you one thing about resources when it comes to God is He don't run out. I can give, right? Amen. I can pass the whole cup of God over here, right, to Steve, but I still got a full cup. Another thing somebody told me a long time ago was, if you don't pour your cup out, there's not enough room to pour more in. Right? So God blesses me and then I overflow and then I gotta share it so He can bless me more because I always get to keep it. And then He talks about not like this ending of the verse, Jehovah Sabaoth, the living root and spring of all what distinguishes us for good and of His glory in Jeremiah 2:11 and Him ours in 1 Peter 4:11 is this onward cycle that as I continue to appreciate God in my life, He continues to be impressed with me and blesses me and shows me as an appreciation. And that's where the crowns come from. Because He said, do not store up treasures for you on earth where moths eat and rust eat, but rather treasures in heaven where Christ is seated. And we don't quite have an understanding of that. We don't talk about it very much, but He's talking about the different types of crowns, the crowns of glory, crowns of honor. When the crown of glory of a man is identified with his soul, then he receives a crown. But then ultimately what you do with the crown when you receive it in heaven is you give it to God. Amen? But I can tell you, I already know, He gives it back. I mean, you know what I mean? It just goes round and round and round and round. It's finally a spiral that goes uphill in our lives, a spiritual spiral that promotes us and grows us. And we do that now. We earn that now so that we understand who we are in eternity. And that's something we don't talk about a lot. But I can tell you that is an extreme benefit of God's glory. In John 15:7-8, he says, if, everybody say if. He said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. For in this my Father will be glorified in you, that you bear much fruit. So it will be that you will be my disciples. And I think about this and I think about, you know, God thinking about me. And this is messed up because I don't know if you guys do this very often. Because the way that I think about myself is never the way that God thinks about me. Right? If I wake up right now, you tested me to tell you the way that I think about me, it could never possibly sound the way that God would describe me. Because God is so beautiful that He eliminates, through Christ, He just eliminates all of the first things that we think about when we think about ourselves. It's just a natural thing for us to chop ourselves down, sell ourselves short. But in reality of it all, He said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you're my disciple. Right? And you go through the biblical text and see how many people killed other people, how many people robbed and stole, how many people were hard to get along with, were crazy personalities that God just grabbed and threw right in, and all of a sudden the amazing glory of God was within them, and they served their purpose and honored God with what happened. That He's looking for each and every single one of us on a personal basis to do this as well. And when He says Tommy, He says disciple. When He says Steve, He says disciple. If you are in me, then I am in you and you are my disciple. But when I woke up this morning, I didn't think that way. Amen? Amen. But if I had, what if I thought differently? If you had pictured yourself as being ordained disciple of God 24 hours a day, then I'm walking through this wilderness of chaos that I mostly created, but yet I share with, right? Right? What if I live differently today? That's such an amazing thing. So T.D. Jakes is an author that I really like, and he always says this. He says, what's your mission statement? And I was just like, I don't have a mission statement. I'm not a corporation. You know, I've never really studied the guidelines and policies to create a proper mission statement. But he's talking about a personal mission statement. So what's the mission statement? And before I share it, Romans 8:6 says, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Philippians says, brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in God in Christ Jesus. And so this is right now is the very key to everything that we're doing as far as applying this to our lives, understanding God from glory to glory. In that God can reach in to the very dirty, unaccountable, inconsistent, untrustworthy, unworthy man of myself and bring me into a beautiful man of God. Right? Impossible. Impossible. 15, 20 years ago, impossible. Right?
True.
But the verse says nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And he says, the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. So there's the key. No longer focused on my needs, no longer focused on the flesh, no longer focused on all these temptations, but focused on the spirit, which creates life and peace. In Philippians, brethren, I do not regard myself laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward towards the upward call in Christ Jesus, saying that no matter who you are, or where you've been, or what you've been through, even I myself don't say that I've laid hold of it. But the one thing I can do is I can say yesterday will not affect me for tomorrow. Amen? All of my past, everything I've done, all the things that you can bring up when you're mad at me, or my wife can bring up when she's mad at me, or the court system can read off when I'm in trouble, is irrelevant if I'm in Christ right now. Amen? That's what I can say. So in understanding that, focused on Christ, reaching forward, cutting off what's behind, what does my mission statement look like? It says, my name is Ben Fisher, and I'm here to share the glory of the one and only true God to everyone I come into contact by relinquishing my will to His very will of my every hour so that He can lead me from glory to glory. And by so doing so, help change the outcome of the salvation to my family and anyone else He chooses to put in my path. Amen.
Amen.
So I say, what's yours? Write it down. Remember it. James said, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. 1 Corinthians says, if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through so fire. So that it's the baptismal fire, it's that sanctification, it's that change. And in Revelations, he says, I advise you to buy for me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And the eye to the slave is to anoint the eyes so that you may see, so that whom I love I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And my closing verse is 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for momentarily, light affliction is producing for us eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And that's that kabod, that's that doxa, that's the Greek and Hebrew word of the light affliction producing eternal weights of glory in our life. Because we understand that when we put our heart to something and we try as hard as we can, when we finally get there, we feel better about it. You know, you finally get there, you finally achieve something, you finally made it somewhere. And that's what he's saying. He's saying that through all of this faith, through all of this action, through all of everything that we can do, that He will bring us to where we need to be. And that's where that glory to glory is. And I do believe I have one final text here. It's the mystery of the resurrection. This is the final stage of glory to glory. Now I say to this brethren that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you of a mystery, that we will not sleep, but we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, that we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and the mortal must put on immortality. But when the perishable will have put on the imperishable, and the mortal will have immortality, then will come about the day that's written, death was swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is in the law. But thanks to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, stay steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And this, my friends, is glory to glory. Amen.